Good morning. Welcome to West Valley Presbyterian Church. It's a beautiful Sunday.
Christy Pierce, would you come up here? We're so fortunate to have Christy Pierce come back and be with us again. Christy has a speaking and writing ministry. She's an ordained Presbyterian elder. Pastor. And she will be serving communion today for us and speaking. Would you just like to tell us a little bit about what you're going to be
preaching about? I'm just so happy to be here. I'm not just a good friend of Kim's, but of many of you I've gotten to know from being here in the last couple of years. And it's our pleasure to be here. We're talking about ordinary people and extraordinary healing, which is one of my favorite topics to talk about. So I just thank you for the honor of getting to be here and be your guest preacher today.
Great. Would you welcome Christy Pierce?
Thank you.
Let us pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you today for the presence of your Holy Spirit here among us. We pray that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. For those in need, we pray that that need will be met. For those who are sick, we pray they will be healed. For those who are weak, we pray that they will be lifted up and comforted, Lord. How we need you, Lord. We need you every hour. Oh, bless us now, our Savior. We come to thee. We need thee. Oh, we need thee. Every hour we need thee. Oh, bless us now, our Savior. We come to thee. Join with me as we pray the prayer that Christ taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Well, this morning, as we're focusing on Jesus and on his word and on his power to heal, I would invite you to either open your Bibles or, if you'd like, just listen, and they're going to have the scripture on the big screen. We're going to focus on one of my favorite passages in the Bible when it comes to healing, and this is from Luke chapter 5, and I'm actually going to start you guys at verse 17. This is when Jesus heals the paralytic. Listen to the word of God. One day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, Friend, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, We have seen remarkable things today. Well, I don't know if you've ever noticed this as you've read your Bible, or maybe you're new to the faith and you haven't read the Bible a lot, so I'll just give you a little headline or a little secret. It is almost impossible to read through the Gospels or the book of Acts and turning page after page without seeing Jesus or his disciples heal people in some way. It's just consistently through the Bible. Have you ever noticed that? I didn't for a long time. I'm going to tell you a little of my story. But I have to say about all of you, one of the things I love about this church so much, and it inspires me when I get to come and worship with you, is that you are people who are completely serious about following Jesus. You want to be more like him. And so I want to submit to you today, as we focus on being more like Jesus, on being his followers, on being his disciples, we need to ask ourselves a question, which is Jesus still healing people today? And if he is, what does that look like, really? Now, I have to tell you up front, before we get into this whole topic of healing, honestly, most of my life, when it came to the idea of healing happening and Jesus healing people through prayer, I was not just skeptical. I was actually admittedly a little bit quietly hostile to that whole idea. And part of that is I come from a family of medical doctors. Part of it is I consider myself an intellectual Christian. Okay, I went to church, I read my Bible, but the whole idea of Jesus healing people miraculously, well, honestly, I thought that was a little bit weird. Okay, like maybe that happened back in Jesus' day. Maybe that happened in Africa. But it didn't happen in my world. See, before I went into my ministry career, some of you know this, I used to work in Washington, D.C. And if you've seen the show West Wing or Scandal, that was my life. I worked on presidential campaigns. I worked with Senator Bob Dole and Senator Elizabeth Dole for about 7 or 8 years. We had a crazy, crazy life. We would fly sometimes to 5 cities in a day, and it was really an intense life. I'm very thankful for it. I'm very thankful I'm not there, okay? But that was my life, and I considered myself an intellectual Christian. Can I tell you my prayer life at that time consisted of one word? I'm wondering if you could guess what it is. Help! Every day as I crawled in the shower, just, God, I know you're there somewhere. Help me. In fact, I can remember a little bit of an embarrassing story. It's coming to me as I'm preaching, and you gives you a snapshot as to where I was spiritually. But I remember climbing into a helicopter one day in the middle of Iowa. We spent a lot of time in Iowa. We were on our 5th city of the day, and I'm from the Midwest, so it was beautiful. I was looking out as the helicopter rose up, and the sun was setting over the cornfields, and I thought, oh, thank God, we've made it through another day. And as we're lifting up, my boss, Elizabeth Dole, at the time was on the right side of me. Our Iowa director was on the left side. And we're going on this helicopter to our last event. I started to get a little concerned when it got dark and we were not on the ground yet. I got a lot more concerned when I noticed that the helicopter pilot was circling the water towers in Iowa, shining his light, evidently to figure out where we were. I got more worried when the Iowa director on the left side, and Elizabeth couldn't hear him, was shouting in my ear things I can't say in church, okay? But he was not happy. He was saying, Christy, we're almost out of gas. I'm afraid we're going to crash. And I'm sitting there in the middle of these two people praying, starting to pray. And Elizabeth says to me, Christy, is everything okay? And I said to her, the thing that came into my mind, remember Washingtonian politically correct, I said, we're a bit behind schedule, but we should be on ground momentarily. Well, that was true, right? I did not lie, but that was my life, okay? So I just want you to picture where I was relative to this whole thing of people healing. When I thought of people praying for healing, I had these visions of people smashing people on the head saying, be healed in the name of Jesus, and people falling down. And that was just kind of weird to me, okay? I was a Washingtonian. Now, long story short, the campaign ended. Frankly, I was relieved. I was the one person saying, oh, well, I guess we got to get out our resumes, because I felt like by the time this thing ended, if we ended up in the White House, I would be half dead. So I was relieved. I went home to Kansas City, where I hoped my mom would make chicken noodle soup and, we would just, have a calming, peaceful way for me to heal, only to find that my family, who had gone from a very wealthy family to how are we going to buy bread and keep the lights turned on, and sheltered me from that because of the stress of my job in Washington, it was a very hard time. And I don't know if you've had times like this in your life. I'm sure you have, where you're just wondering, where is God anyway? Is God even real? In the middle of this, my sister gets bitten by a copperhead snake on her heel. We go into the emergency room, and the doctors say, "Did you bring the snake with you?" We're like, "No, we got bitten by a snake. We don't have a pet snake." And the point was to figure out whether she was bitten by a sick snake, I guess, and what kind of medicine to give her. And turns out that she was. So she almost died three times that year. We were in hospitals one after another watching her organs get attacked by this venom. And it was a horribly hard time. Now, all of a sudden, we were interested in healing. We went to every church we could find. You know, whatever denomination, we would go in and say, "Please pray for us." And people started praying for us. And I got invited to go to Africa with a group of people who were praying for healing. They wanted me to go as part of the healing prayer team, which I thought was hilarious. And I have to tell you, secretly, I went hoping the missionaries and the people in Africa would pray for me. Okay, I just had no faith to believe I could pray for healing for anybody. So we get there, and they took us down into the middle of the Rift Valley in Africa from Kenya. It was a 7-hour drive through the mud and the giraffes and all that. They were ministering to the Maasai tribe. In that time, the missionaries were there, and in 12 years, this young family with two children, you got to know, there are black mamba snakes and, you know, life-threatening animals there in Africa. These people, in 12 years, guess how many people they'd seen come to the Lord? Two. I'm amazed at people like that. And they kept hanging out there. But they were ready to go home, honestly. They just thought, nothing's happening here. But they said, "Would you come into the village and pray for these people who are sick? No doctors around, you know." So I, you know, Washingtonian, okay, but this isn't going to be good. Maybe the two people who, like, have faith are going to have no faith by the time we leave, you know. So we got into a hut, and a lady was laying there, I'll never forget, on the ground, kind of curled up, clearly dying, you know. And the husband, who was the Christian, one of the two Christians, said, "Would you put your hand on her and pray for her?" So I'm going, okay. And we went over, and we pray for this woman, and to everybody's amazement, she gets up and she's healed. And she starts serving us tea. And I am amazed. Now, all of a sudden, this village of Maasai, who had not been interested in Jesus for 12 years, there are people lined up, 50 people outside the hut, who want to have prayer. So again, I'm thinking, not good. Ye of little faith. So we begin praying for these people one after another. And folks, I have to tell you, in 20 years of a healing ministry, I've never seen anything like it. Because about 80% of those people on that line were healed. And some of them in pretty dramatic ways. People who couldn't walk. One lady whose eye, you know, she couldn't see. And we watched person after person being healed. Now, I'm standing there like this. And I can't believe this is happening. And the little man in the village runs over to me and says, "I don't know why you're surprised. It says here in your Bible, you will lay hands on the sick and they will get healed." And I said, "Not in my world, not in Washington, D.C. This does not happen." We got back home and just kind of forgot about this experience, though still kind of amazed by it. And we get a call from the missionaries that stayed, and they were ecstatic because they said, "You're not going to believe this story." And this, what happened was, a man in our village was bitten by a black mamba snake. Now, my husband was a missionary in Africa for 3 years, and he tells me that this is the bad kind of snake. You know, you die in 5 minutes. I'm not a snake fan, obviously, because of my sister's situation, but, you know, this seemed pretty bad. And this man was bitten, and the missionary said he was out in the field, and we all went out to pray for him. And we left him and we thought he was dead. And we came back to church to worship. And he comes walking through the door and he's alive. And the missionary said, and then the whole village went down to the river to be baptized. I'm like, wow. So you can imagine, Washingtonian, intellectual, Christian, having this experience. I just didn't believe things like this happened in the world, you guys. So that was a jumping springboard for me into the ministry of healing. And we have a saying in our ministry, which is, you can pray for healing and not be weird. Okay, you can be a normal, ordinary Bible-believing Christian and learn how to pray for healing. My friend Kim is here. We get to travel all over, especially in Hawaii, which is kind of nice to get to go there, though Kim jokes it's like Des Moines, Iowa, because we stand, you know, we never seen a beach. The only time we've been in the water in Hawaii was baptizing somebody. So, you know, it's not necessarily, but it's an amazing experience to get to stand and watch people come and pray for them for healing. We get called to go into the ICUs and pray for people in Stanford Hospital that are sick. And God has shown us amazing things. Now, I want to say something very important to you about this. While I've seen Jesus do incredible miracles, for which I'm very thankful and it's built my faith, I've also experienced the heartache of praying for people and have them not healed. I prayed for my mother, who died 6 years ago from cancer. We prayed just as hard for her as we did the man down the hall in the ICU who was healed. This year, one of my good friends, Bill, died of cancer. And a few months before, his son had committed suicide. You can't be in this ministry as long as we've been in it and hold babies that are dying in your arms. There are mysteries when it comes to Jesus and healing, right? There are mysteries. So some of the most important lessons I just want to share humbly with you and pass on to you this morning, I've actually learned from this text we've read. And I want to drill down into this text because I want to encourage you that when it comes to Jesus and healing, I don't want you to believe that Jesus heals people miraculously today just because this pastor, Christy, does, or because your pastor, Kim, does, or somebody else sitting next to you. I want you to think and ask God what he wants you to know when it comes to the whole idea of Jesus and healing. Now, here's the first lesson I want to tell you when it comes to healing. This is from the Luke, and here it is. Jesus healed people when he was alive, and he calls his followers to heal and pray for people today. Over 50% of Jesus' ministry was healing or setting the captives free. Now, it's also clear that Jesus did not hog the ministry of healing for himself, right? In Luke 10, he sends out the 72 and says, "The kingdom of God is near you." And it tells them to go every town and to pray for the sick and to set the captives free. Now, I find this hilarious because have you ever thought about these 72 people? They're the rookies. You know, they're just like brand new Christians. And Jesus anoints them and sends them out and says, go. John 14, one of my favorite texts where Jesus says, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me," or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. "I tell you the truth, anybody who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He'll do even greater things than these." Healing prayer was a normal part of the early church. Second thing I want to say, you can be an ordinary person and pray for healing. Folks, I am the most ordinary person you will ever meet. I'm a mom of 3 young kids. Some days I have a lot of faith to pray for healing. Other days, Or just very little faith at all. Like, God, are you here? You know it all. So I'm an ordinary, normal person. And I want to encourage you, if God can use me to pray for healing and see things happen, he can use you. I promise you that. Now, question, have any of you ever prayed for healing and seen somebody get healed? Any of you? Okay, a few of you. Awesome. Any of you ever pray for healing and see the person not get healed or maybe get worse or maybe even die? Have any of you had that experience? I have. I have too. Healing raises mysterious questions. We've had a lot of heartache in my family. My husband had a serious near-fatal bike accident a few years ago. Thank God he's here. He's okay. My daughter fell off a horse and had a concussion for a couple of years. I've seen miracles. I've seen heartache. And yet, I want to encourage you in this. I never, ever shrink back from praying for somebody for healing. Because I have found that Jesus is always doing something. He is always moving for blessing in that person's life. Rather, I see the miracle happen and we boldly pray for the felt need, the miracle. God is often working on different levels we can't see. And my goal, it's a win if the person ends up blessed and encouraged in some way. One of my favorite authors, Ken Blue, when his wife was dying of cancer, wrote this: "Whether or not healing prayer works, I don't intend to ever stop. because the Bible commands me to pray for healing. And I'm with Ken. That's what I do, too. Now, I'm going to go through these very quickly because even as Ken says that, and we've polled people, we've asked people, what are the 10 main reasons you don't pray for healing? And here's the top two. One, I feel inadequate. Or two, I'm afraid it won't work. And I tell people, Leanne Payne, who's one of my favorite authors on healing, she wrote The Healing Presence. She says this, your inadequacy is your first qualification. Isn't that great? So I take people with me all the time to the hospitals to pray. It's like, I'm not good at praying. And I'm like, just put your hand on that person. And inevitably, they're the person who God will use in some way. I want to very quickly encourage you about practical things to do when healing does not happen. Okay, I want to encourage you about this. First thing is, you keep praying. You keep praying. After 20 years of doing this, I've learned not to give up, and you keep praying. Because again, God is always doing something, and blessing will come as you pray. Second thing, remember, it's your job to pray. You're not the healer. Folks, we don't have the power to heal anybody. The power comes from Jesus. But he uses us as we step out and pray for people. Three, you can stand with people and just love them. It's hard enough to be suffering with any kind of pain, whether it's a broken marriage or it's somebody in the ICU you care about. All of that's hard enough. It's worse to suffer alone, right? So to have people standing with you, and I thank God that this is a church that does that, and praying with you is just awesome. Here's what's not, I want to encourage you this, here's what you do not do or say to somebody who isn't being healed. Please do not say that you're not being healed because you don't have enough faith. Please do not say that. I cannot tell you how many times people have come to me and told me someone says that, and I just get angry. I think Jesus gets angry about that. Now, there are many times in Scripture where you'll see, you know, someone get healed and Jesus will say something like, daughter, your faith has healed you, go in peace. There are other times, quite a few, where Jesus heals someone and there's no evidence of faith whatsoever. I want you to think about when Lazarus died, right? And Jesus shows up. How much faith does a dead guy have? None. And Mary didn't have faith, and Martha didn't have faith, and yet Jesus walks in and raises Lazarus from the dead, okay? So don't tell people, please, that they don't have enough faith. My friend Jordan says when it comes to healing, I love this, he says, just remember the three-letter word, try. That great try. And we see miracles as we step out and try. It's not about having a special gift or a prayer or a model. It's about loving people and praying in Jesus' name. I thank God that there are many opportunities here at West Valley all the time for you to receive healing prayer if you want. We are going to be staying here afterwards, my friend Kim and I and another prayer team or two. And any of you who need healing of any kind, we're used to staying as long as people want to stay. So I want to invite you to come and experience prayer. There are prayer teams here every week. There are cards you can write down if you have a need for prayer. Tonight, Marva and her group are going to be meeting here at the church, and there's a time if you want to come back tonight to be prayed for. But there are many opportunities in this church to be prayed for healing. I would invite you to take advantage of that. I think I'm going to go ahead and come to the end of our time because we're going to move into a time of communion. But I just want to encourage you as we finish and move into communion to know that God invites us. He doesn't need any of us, right, to heal somebody. He includes us. He invites us into a ministry of healing because when he does that, he knows that three things happen at one time. He knows that the person we're praying for is going to be healed or blessed in some way. We're going to be healed or blessed in some way. And it brings joy to the Father's heart. Last verse, Luke 10, verse 17. I love this. The 72, remember the rookies went out? And they returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And Jesus says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for it was your good pleasure. joy to the people being prayed for, joy to the person praying, and joy to the Father's heart. That is what healing prayer is all about. We're going to move to a time of communion now, and there is no better place to remember that Jesus heals people and brings healing in their life on many levels than at this table. Because at this table, we remember that Jesus died for us on the cross. And as the scripture says, that by his stripes, by his wounds, we are healed. Now, you don't have to be a member of West Valley to take communion with us this morning. For anyone who believes in Jesus, communion is for you. And what's going to happen is we're going to serve you the bread first, and I would invite you to take the bread and eat it individually as you like. And then we will be serving you the juice, and we would invite you to hold the juice and wait, and then we will take that collectively. So let's pray and give this time to the Lord. Lord, I thank you for in the early church, it was a normal thing that when the believers gathered together and they broke bread and they drank and they remembered you, that people were healed even in that experience of taking communion. We pray today, as my brothers and sisters have this communion experience, that you would bless them, that you would bring peace to them, that you would bring healing in some way, even as we celebrate this communion together. And we give you this time, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. On the night of his arrest, after giving thanks, Jesus took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. As often as you eat it, do so remembering that I died for you." And in the same way, he took the cup. And he says, "This is my blood shed for you. As often as you drink it, do so remembering that I died for you." And now we, the people of God, give you the gifts of God. May the God of peace bless you. May the Lord go with you and make his face shine upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name. Amen.